Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence again today. Thank you for the word you have brought our way. And thank you because no one will return back the same way. Thank you because you have prepared your word of truth to transform us and turn us into transgenerational leaders. Be exalted in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that as we receive your word, we receive the spirit of leadership afresh in the name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. The topic remains the law of leadership. Remember, we are continuing with our series called The Proven Secret of Transgenerational Success. Let's remember that. And last week, we were able to look at the law of continuity as one of the secrets of transgenerational success. God doesn't want us to just start anything. He wants us to also continue even to the end. Praise God. So today, we are going to continue. Let's read some scriptures. Matthew 15, 14. It says, "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." Then also, 1 Corinthians 11, 1, it says, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." I believe many of us are lacking just this one thing in our quest for good success. Leadership is something that is required not only in the public, in groups we belong to, in associations we belong to, or in church. It is also something that we need in our own personal lives. God wants to lead you and I, but He also wants us to lead others. That is what we call leading others to Christ. That is what we call leading yourself to success. That is what we call following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Everything still revolves around leadership. So, God wants to launch you and I into a special realm of leadership where we can lead, set the pace, and even trail blazes. So, God wants to empower you and I for that. And I pray that as we finish today, you and I will be stepping into another realm of leadership in Jesus' name. So leadership is all about influence. It's all about taking the lead, taking responsibility, and of course, taking the blame. I'm going to run through that again. Leadership is all about influence. Influence is someone to do what he would not have done ordinarily, or what he will have not had enough strength to do. So it is also taking the lead, being in the forefront, not minding what's going to happen. There's what they call leading people to war. Giving them instructions, telling them what to do. That is what makes a general different from a lieutenant. Then there's also the aspect of taking responsibility. In a lot of cases, most people don't want to take any responsibility. They want to stay behind, shy away from responsibility, because when you take responsibility, it means you take the blame when things go wrong. Of course, you take the praise when things go right, but many of us don't want to take the blame. And that is what makes the difference between the person who wants to become the president of a nation, who takes the blame for every wrong thing in the nation, and someone else who doesn't want to do anything, who doesn't even want to vote in the first place. What is the importance of leadership? Without leadership, there is actually no focus, no destination. No leadership means no movement. Of course, we know that vision is required for us to get to our destination. The person who most times pull down the vision is the person who is called the leader. And that means even in your own personal life, without vision in any aspect of life, that means there's no leadership. So, in any organization you may belong to, in any place you find yourself, in your family, in your personal life, in church, there is need for leadership. No leadership means no movement, because leadership sets the pace. Leadership sets the vision. Leadership tells us where we must go at every point in time. That is the importance of leadership. Focus and destination is set by leadership. Now, What are the different scenarios of leadership? What are the different cases of leadership? Number one, there is what we call no leadership. No leadership. It is like an airplane without a pilot or a car without a driver. And maybe somebody just pushed the car to keep rolling. It's going to go anywhere. And of course, it's going to crash. Most likely. So, a case like this may be a group or an association where everybody wants to lead. That means no leadership. In this case, always expect an accident. If there is no leadership, expect an accident. Because everybody wants to take the wheel and drive and turn the wheel here. You know, if I'm turning the wheel to the right and someone else is turning to the left, accident is going to happen. Because when a trailer is coming, I'll keep saying, oh, I want to turn. Someone else says, I want to turn. And that's the reason why God said the man should lead in marriage. Because it's not because the women don't have wisdom or because they are not good enough. In fact, many women may be wiser than the man. But God just says, I want order in this setup called marriage. So the man should be in charge. That is the reason. It is just for order. Leadership is what brings order to any organization, to any association. Leadership is what brings the order. Anything short of leadership is nothing but chaos. When you see chaos in any place, in any organization, in anything you see people doing, just go and check. Where is the leadership? Is there leadership at all? That is the first thing. Because the person who takes the blame, who takes the responsibility, who leads and who charts the courses is the leader. Then we have another scenario of leadership. Number one is no leadership. That means there is no one in charge. The second one is bad leadership. That means though there is leadership, the one who is leading is doing it wrongly. That is bad leadership. We can explain this by saying it's a car with a driver who has no clue as to where the passengers are going. He's the leader, but he has no clue. He doesn't even know where people want to go. He has his own mind, he's doing his own thing, but he doesn't know where people need to go. Not only where they want to go, because sometimes the people want to go to where they shouldn't go to, but a leader tells them where the right destination should be. He keeps setting the pace. He tells them the fastest way to pass. He tells them the safest path to take. That is where most African nations are lacking behind, because there is bad leadership. And that is why, though there are many resources, though people have intellectual resources, material resources, you know, natural resources, but everything is still in chaos. Yet another nation with almost no resources are still making waves because there is good leadership and there is order. Even for individuals, personal leadership is expected. So even someone can be leading himself the wrong way, it is still bad leadership. You are supposed to go this way, you decide to go the wrong way, it is still bad leadership. Then the third scenario, the first one is no leadership. The second one is bad leadership. And the third one is wrong leadership. This is also as bad as any of the ones we've mentioned above. Not because these people are bad people, but they are leading the wrong set of people. They should have led somewhere else, but they have forced themselves to lead in another place. An example of this is someone who is supposed to be in charge of the choir in the church, for example, but finds himself to become the pastor. What do you think will happen in that church? Maybe they will be singing for the old service. Instead of preaching, he will end up singing. And when he's preaching, he gets carried away because he's listening to the wrong tune somebody else is playing. He's saying, oh, that guy is off key. And he's fighting everybody. Why? Because he's in the wrong place. There's wrong leadership. Wrong leadership could also mean that the leader is leading people in the wrong way. He has no clue. He's not prepared for it. He's not good enough for it. Then there is what we call good leadership. That is where all of us want to belong to. And that is why you are here today. Because you want to be the good leader. You want to be the right leader. And you want to be the one who takes charge when all else is wrong. For example, it's been said of interviews that maybe somebody said, oh, in this interview, you guys should do something. And they are watching. And someone else stays behind and is just watching all of them. This one says, I have this idea. This one says, I have this idea. And someone says, okay, can we all calm down? I know we all have good ideas. Okay, can we take the ideas one by one? And in the end, we just agree on something. A leader has just emerged. He has not given any idea. He has only put everybody in order. That is what good leadership could do. It's not as if he's the best one with the best ideas or the best wisdom. No, it's just the one who can harness people's qualities together, harness people's good things, and put them together to form something good. Electricity is good, but it's also dangerous. I'm sure maybe many of us at one time or the other, you have probably mistakenly touched a live wire, and you know what happened to you. And thank God you are listening to me today, because it's not a very high voltage wire you touched. Now, you touched that one and you know the shock you felt in all your body. Now, electricity, the same electricity that shocks people, electrocutes people, and kills people, can be harnessed into a light bulb that beautifies the whole house. The TV you watch is still the same electricity. But because some people put their heads together and harness this electricity to do something good, that is why you're enjoying it. The same way when you have a lot of people together in a group, they are full of electricity. If they are not annexed together, there will be fight. This person is shocking this person is causing havoc to this person. But when there is order, someone can say, oh, you are very good, you have a lot of strength, then be in charge of security. Oh, you have this, be in charge of welfare. Then everything begins to work together and it produces a very good music, in quotes. Now, check all the keys in the keyboard. They all have different sounds, but when they are put together, they produce a very good melody. That is what happens in a house when the husband and wife agree together and allow someone, the right person, to lead. That is what happens when the people in the church allow the person who is the pastor and the one in charge to lead. That's what happens in a company when someone is not competing with the other person and should be in this position. Now he's there. Let him do it. Praise God. So, those are the different scenarios of leadership. Now, talking about personal leadership, I'm sure we have seen people who seem to be going nowhere, jumping from job to job, from marriage to marriage, from relationship to relationship at the slightest misunderstanding. What do they lack? They just lack personal leadership. They cannot direct their own lives, not about talking about leading others. That's why the Bible says anyone who wants to take the position of a deacon or bishop, the Bible puts together a list of things. He said he should be the husband of one wife. He should lead his own well. He should guide his own children well. Because it starts from the little things. That means if you and I are going to be good leaders, then I should be able to lead myself in the first place. I should be able to wake up when I want to wake up. I should be able to sleep when I want to sleep. Not that in the afternoon, you are sleeping, you are watching a movie. I'm not saying you can't do all those things in the afternoon. I'm just saying your life is in order. You can say, this is what I want to do at this time, and you are doing it. I want to pray at this time, and you are praying. I want to fast at this time, and you can deny your body. I want to do this business, and you can take the responsibility of doing it. That's the boldness of stepping ahead and doing it. That is what we are talking about. And may God release that grace to you and I in the name of Jesus. I've been under different leadership, and I'm talking about my own kind of experience under different leaderships. I've been under different leaderships at one time or the other in different organizations. And I've seen how leadership is the key thing, is the main thing that makes the difference. I've seen when a pastor is on fire for God, the whole church, what happens? Everybody's on fire. I've been in Orthodox church, I've been in Pentecostal, I've been in different kinds of churches, in university, fellowship, and all that. I've seen how leadership just changes everything. I've been in a church where everybody comes to church, they are just sleeping, and people start diminishing one after the other. The same church, they brought someone else who is on fire for God, and the whole church is jam-packed with the whole city coming to the same church. Things that could not be done for years were being done within a short period of time. Buildings or construction projects that couldn't be done for a long time were being done within a short period of time. Why? Leadership just changed. The same way, if you and I will assume the place of leadership, you see how you and I will just rise up in different areas of life. You just want to take responsibility. You want to deny yourself of the comfort you have. I'm talking about personal relationship now. We are still going to talk about leading others. But this is where it all starts. You have to be able to lead yourself well before you can lead other people. And may you and I receive that grace today in Jesus' name. We are not only expected to follow Christ, but the Bible recognizes that following a human figure is not a sin. Someone will say, oh, all I want to do is let me just follow Christ. Yes, that's the order we have from God. That's the instruction we have. You have to follow Christ at every step. Follow the Holy Spirit. follow the leading of God. But God also said you follow other people. In fact, the Bible says about Paul, who said, follow me, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. That's the second scripture we read, 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. And NIV says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Some people will not be able to see Christ on time until they have seen you. I've shared the testimony of how somebody just saw my life and said, see, I've been trying to pattern my life after you. I was shocked. I didn't even know somebody was watching. We are still going to come to that. That's talking about influence. Leading by influence. That's actually what real leadership is. Now, what are the steps to effective leadership? Steps to effective leadership. Number one, don't expect people to do anything by themselves. Now, we have just jumped into the aspect of leading other people. Now, as you are talking about this, it's going to be more like a two-edged sword that is talking about leading other people, leading yourself, and also being a follower. Of course, that makes it a three-edged sword then, because whatever we are learning today, you're going to be reflecting, you and I will be reflecting on how I can lead other people appropriately, how you can be led rightly, because you are following somebody in one place, you are leading others in another place, and how you are also leading yourself. So don't expect people to do anything by themselves. That's one thing I've realized. It's painful. You think they are going to do it by themselves. You think they are going to take the initiative and do things right. But if you are going to be a good leader, don't expect that. You need to, most times, tell people the routine you expect. You set the pace. You set what you expect them to do. If not, everybody is going to do his own thing. And what is going to happen? Anarchy. I know many of us are running businesses. You are in ministry or doing one thing or the other. Expect that people are waiting for you for instructions. Because many people don't have personal leadership yet. So if you're thinking that they are going to just wake up one day and do what is right, you're going to come back and see everybody chatting and playing. That is what happens most times. People are easily distracted, including you and I. And that is why you plan to do something and you end up watching a movie in the long run. Maybe many of us are even laughing at ourselves now because it has happened over and over again. So don't even expect yourself to do what you are supposed to do. We have learned the law of programming, where you program yourself for success, planning and programming. The same way you apply it to yourself, apply it to the group you lead, apply it to anyone you find yourself leading, because they are expecting you to take charge, to lead. So tell them the routine you expect. You have to tell them what you expect them to do. And of course, I'm not saying spoon-feeding them and telling them, okay, take this step. Of course, that means you are doing it by yourself. But at the beginning, it may actually be like that. Then you begin to chat them up and put them up in the path that they can actually start taking these things by themselves. Remember, you're also talking to yourself, and I'm talking to myself today, that I don't expect that I'll just wake up tomorrow and do the right thing. No. The only way I can do the right thing is when I plan, maybe tonight or early in the morning tomorrow, what I want to do in the day. When I plan them step by step, minute by minute, that is the way to chart the course. So if you are leading any set of people, you tell them the routine you expect. You tell them what you are expecting them to do. If any of your followers takes wise initiatives, it is because they have leadership traits in them by themselves. So you too, if you belong to any place where someone else is leading you, that means you have to be able to take initiative. That means you have personal leadership. That is when you can actually follow right and be a blessing to whoever is leading. Number two, steps to effective leadership. Number one is don't expect people to do anything by themselves. Number two, know the people you are leading. You have to understand them. This is where Jesus did it so perfectly. We are going to expect that later. Jesus knew how to handle Peter. He knew how to handle John the Beloved. He knew how to handle Thomas. He knew how to handle him. He knew how to show him understanding and love at his level of faith. He didn't just come and start chastising. What's wrong with you? I've been with you 3 years. Of course, we're going to look at how to also bring about things like that. There are times that you have to do that to people, because Jesus did it to Peter. Jesus even called Peter a devil. He said, "Get behind me, Satan." He called him Satan. Satan was talking through him. Of course, he permitted Satan to talk through him. So Jesus handled him appropriately. But when it came to the turn of Thomas, Jesus decided to come back, showed him his hands, touch it. Oh yeah, touch it now, so that you can believe. I don't want you lost. That was the level of Thomas. But he didn't deal with Peter the same way. When it came to Judas, what did Jesus do? Jesus confronted him. That's another way. Know the people you are leading. You only give your money to people you trust. Judas was in charge of the money. That means Judas was supposed to be a trustworthy person. Jesus confronted him. Devil wants to use you. Be careful. But Judas made his choice. That's another thing we're going to talk about. You and I are not responsible for the decisions they take if you have already guided them aright. Let's not dwell on that too much. So, steps to effective leadership, know the people you are leading. Everybody is different from another. One person is not the same with another. You can't lead them the same way. You can give them a general guideline, but you don't relate with them the same way. So, use the right approach to drive movement. That's number three. There is a right approach to drive movement. We've mentioned that a bit. There's a right kind of leadership for different sets of people. We often need to lead followers through one or more of the following methods. Some followers need one of these more than the other. What are the methods we use to lead people? Number one, there are people that are rod-led. Let me say 3A now. Use the right approach. They are rod-led. What do I mean by rod? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. There's a rod that when the person is going astray, you know what to do to keep him back. Some people is just, when you talk to them, they behave. Some children, just like we do, is when you give them punishment. Okay, I'm taking your TV off for the next 3 days. That is when their head will be reset. Or when it comes to re-spanking, that is when their head will be reset. And sometimes, almost all followers need all these kind of things we're going to mention, but some need one more than the other. There is the encouragement-led kind of people. What they need is encouragement. Even when they have done something wrong, you don't use rod, you just encourage them. Oh, okay, come up. That's what Jesus did for Thomas. There is the threat-led. Some people, you have to threaten them that if you don't do this, I'll do this. You're actually not going to do anything, but you are threatening them to put them in order. They don't need the rod, they just need the threat. Then there's the vision-led. Some people, they need to see the future. You have to be able to, of course, you're going to use this for every form of leadership position. But we are saying that some people, they just need that. You need to show them the vision. They need to see where you are going. That is the only time they can follow appropriately. Then there's a step-by-step lead that you have to tell them everything. This is the most stressful kind of people to lead, because every time you still have to tell them what to do at every step of the way, you're going to find this kind of people and they still have to be led. Then there's the incentive-led. Some people, you have to tell them the profit. If you do this, I'll give you this. Then their head will open up and they want to do something. And sometimes you have to use all the things we mentioned above. Please listen to the recording. All the things we mentioned before for you to lead them appropriately. Then number four. Remember, we mentioned don't expect them to do anything by themselves. We mentioned know the people you're leading. Use the right approach to drive movement. And then number four. Use the right methods of correction. We don't need to touch that again. We've already mentioned that. Then number five, know why they are following you. Know why they are following you. This is so important. People often respond to leadership or follow some set of leadership because of different reasons. I'll mention five of them. If you don't understand this, it may be very, very difficult to lead. People are following you for different reasons, and you need to understand why each person is following you. Some people follow you because they like you. This is very good. This is like the best kind of followers you can ever have in life. And it also happens to you too. You are following some people because you like them. Some people come to Redeem Christian Church of God because they like Baba Adeboye. Not because they like the church, not because they like their own personal pastor. They just like Baba Adeboye. That's why many people are coming to that church. That's my own opinion, of course. They just like Baba Adeboye. This man, we like him. Some people, they like what you like. That means they are following you because they like what you like, not because they like you. You have to know the difference. What do you like? Some people, you like football. They are just your friend because you like football. The moment you don't like football again, forget it. They are never your friend again. The same thing with leadership. Some people are following you because they like what you like. You like to go to church, they are going to church with you. The moment you don't go to that church again, forget it. They're not interested in you again. That's a kind of followership. Then some people, they are following you because they have no choice, or they have no better choice. They have no choice. Why? Maybe because of work, because you are their boss or superior at the place of work. Maybe you are working in a bank and the person above you is maybe a stark unbeliever. Why are you following the person? You have no choice. The person is just leading you. You have no choice. So some people like that too, that is why they are following you. You have to know the difference. Then there are some people who follow you because they are God sent to you. An example that I know personally is Bishop Abioye, who is following Bishop David Oyedepo. He's following because God said, see that man, follow him. Of course, he's anointed, but God said, this is the man I want you to follow. Don't go and start your own church. Simple. So some people will follow you because God asked them to follow you, depending on the kind of leadership or ministry you have, or business you have. Then some people, they only want what you have. They have no benefit to your life, nothing, just because of what you have. That is what they call parasitic relationship. That is why those people are after you. So if you're going to lead well, you need to know why people are following you. Then, before we wrap up today, you have to know your boundaries. After knowing why people are following you, know your boundaries. If somebody, for example, is following you because you are just his boss at work, or because you are the one who is a superior to him at your place of work, there may be a limit to what you can do to that person. The only way to lead that person right is by influence. You lead a good example. Then they can now begin to change levels of leadership. They can begin to change from normal followership to people who are now being influenced by you, then to mentorship. We are going somewhere. Now, stay within the limits so that you won't lose your respect. If somebody is only following because of your academic success, they may not be interested in learning about marriage from you. But of course, you need to first know why they are following you. Then you can now take the relationship to another level, which is where we are going. Then, today, learn the difference between influence and leadership. There's a difference between influence and leadership. That is where we all want to go, to the place of influence. You want people to follow you because you have a good influence in their lives. And remember, last week I talked about the vision that God is releasing. That is exactly what we would need in that vision. Influence. Remember when we talked about the law of mentorship, that we talked about people that are actually following your example without your knowledge, without you knowing it. And God wants to take you and I to that level more. After this episode, I'll just take like 1 or 2 minutes to explain more what is going to happen in that vision. God wants you to be a good leader. I know I've talked so fast in this episode. Please just get the recording. Of course, it's free. When it's out by Tuesday or Wednesday, please listen to it. God wants you to be a good leader, and he wants to influence people. Now, there's the power of you influencing a whole nation, beginning from just 2 people. God wants you and I to be able to influence as many people as possible. If you can influence 1 person, you can influence 2. You can influence 10. You can influence 20. I will, in subsequent days, because of our time, show you how you can impact a whole city by just starting with 2 people. Within a period of, let's say, 8 years, you can influence at least 300 people intentionally. God wants to take you and I to that level. Where we do it intentionally, the platform will be created, so many things will come up, and as it's being developed, I will share with you. But I want you and I to think about it. When you get on, pray about it, go and look for 2 people that you want to be a good influence to. Minimum 2 people. The more, the better, and the faster. If you can get 10, why not? But 2 people that you know that you will pray for them personally. You will find a way of leading them by influence. That maybe, in fact, I would say start from your family, your immediate family. People you know, not people who have already achieved great success and all that. I'm talking about people who are trying to find a bearing for their lives. But they respect you as auntie, as uncle, as someone at work. Find them. Begin to show them love. Begin to pray for them ahead. Then, as the platform begins to unveil, because there will be a platform where you and I can measurably lead them, measurably mentor them. I mean, you can measure the progress. You can say, okay, I'm influencing these 2 people. And in the long run, these two people will also influence two people. The two people they influence will influence another two people. See how the matrix is going. See how it's going by geometric progression. And it's just increasing and increasing and increasing. And that is why the power of 300. If you do that enough and fast enough, you will see how fast you can influence 300 people in your lifetime. Don't just say, I'm looking for 300 people. Start with these two people and you will see how it goes. As it unveils, I'll begin to unveil it to all of us and anyone who's interested. And I wish all of us are interested. Anyone who's interested will come in fully. Praise God. We have come to the end of the episode today. I will also allow us to unmute our mics so that we can contribute or ask any question in the short time we have left. Praise God. So please, if you have any question whatsoever, maybe the past episodes or anything, you can please unmute your mic and ask some questions. If I have any question, just questions, please. Thank you. You can all unmute now and you can ask any question if there is anyone. Praise God. Yes, good evening.
Yes, sir. I just forgot to ask I don't know if it's a question actually. The thing is it possible to lead easily without influence? Or I don't know how to put it. Like, is it possible to separate leadership from influence?
Okay, let me take that question. That's one. Do you have any other question?
Okay, just one question.
Okay, so, yes. Do you have any other question? So I will take it together. Okay. Now, I mean from someone else. Okay, so I'll just talk about that. And I'm also feeling that maybe we should spend one more day on this leadership thing. If anyone thinks like that, just drop a comment. Let's know if we should spend one more day on this topic. So let me just talk about that. Now, when it comes to real leadership, there is what they call leadership and there's what they call rulership. What we have in many places is ruling. People are ruling. They have power to rule. Now, we are talking about leadership. It's mostly by influence. You are leading by good influence. Leading by example. Showing the way others should go. People who have no strength by themselves. Jesus is our best leader. How did he lead? If you want to understand leadership, just go and look at Jesus. He came to this world as a normal person. But he ended up with how many millions of people now in this world? Several millions of people. That is what Jesus ended with. Why? Not by forcing anybody, not by pointing gun at anybody or sword at anyone, but by leading by example. His life was perfect. He was full of power, yet he didn't misuse it. He was healing people, he was giving. I think leadership is just about influence and giving. Giving out of your knowledge, giving out of your wisdom, giving out of your resources. That is how you influence people. Being kind, being good. That is the best way to attract anyone into your life. I don't know of anyone who rejects kindness. Maybe there are, but in his heart of hearts, he doesn't reject it. Maybe he's rejecting something else, not your kindness. So, leadership is by influence. If, for example, there are people in your family or people around you, friends or, you know, who are leading a bad life, if you show enough concern, you will see how they will change. People who are even actually hostile to you can overnight become friendly. People who think you are a Jew, in quotes, just like they call many of us, that, oh, he's born again and all that, he's a Jew, he's just a beg. But if you show enough concern, you will see how they change overnight. I've seen it happening. That people, the same set of people that they don't want to have anything to do with you because they feel that you are holy, in quotes. But the moment you just show them that, oh, nothing, come now, let's talk. You are free with them. You would see how many deep things they are ready to unveil to you. Why? Because of your influence that you have shown by kindness. This thing actually starts by, I think there's something they call in medicine, they call it empathy. Instead of showing sympathy, they say, oh, they show empathy. No, when you begin to relate with people's feelings, somebody is a smoker and it's a chain smoker. Number one, you don't start leading that person or influencing that person by telling him that what he's doing is bad. Does he not know it's bad? But when you first look at his side, oh, this guy wants to break free from this chain. Even though he feels, he acts like he doesn't want to break free. But he really wants to break free. But because he's in bondage, he cannot break free. You first look at that angle. And through your pity, through your mercy, you can influence him. And he begins to see why he needs to take extra step to break that bondage. So I think, I don't know if I've touched your point, but leadership is mainly by influence. Praise God. All right. Thank you so much. Okay. Our time is fast spent, so we've come to the end of the episode today. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to learn again at your feet, for the spirit of leadership you are pouring to us, because every time you speak your word, there is a spirit that goes behind it. The spirit of leadership that has come upon us today, Father, let it begin to find expression in every area of our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. See you next week and have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. And please invite someone and please continue to pray concerning that vision I talked about. We'll give it a name. You hear about the name and the platform and how it's going to work very soon. See you next week and have a wonderful week. Jesus. Bye.
TheGoodSuccess.com